Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. The biblical period of the Judges was a time of deadly compromise. Last week on the show, I mentioned how that really was a time of lawlessness and bloodshed, where people were doing whatever they assumed was right. Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Flurry has written a book titled The Former Prophets, and in it he explains how the book of Judges is prophetic, and he calls it a strong warning to the 95% of God's church that has rebelled in this end time. You can get a free copy of The Former Prophets at thetrumpet.com. And notice this quote on page 41 of The Former Prophets. The very elect always choose God's government because they cannot be deceived. And again, we did talk about this quite a bit on the show last week, just how God's way is best. God knows best. We can use our own human reasoning and go down all kinds of dark paths of destruction. The only way to do what is right and to end up with a good result is to follow God. The book of the Judges is proof of this fact. Now, like I said, Judges really does reveal a serious problem with compromise. The ancient Israelites fell into this deadly trap of compromise over and over and over. They got tired of winning victories and driving out their enemies, and so they would make other kinds of deals. Instead of eliminating the enemy, they would keep them alive and force the enemy to pay tribute. They would make all kinds of so-called peace deals. And yet, having an enemy right next door never turns out well, whether anciently or today. You can see an example of that with the modern nation called Israel today. Their many attempts at peace and compromise simply have not worked out well for them at all. In fact, the Bible calls the Middle East peace process a deadly wound for the Jews. The book of Hosea talks all about that. But this is a time in this end time where we really need to understand that compromise with God's law is wrong. We have seen an entire church be destroyed because of compromise. After Herbert W. Armstrong died in 1986, the Worldwide Church of God got into all kinds of compromise. And sure enough, it was just a matter of time before every foundational doctrine of the church was dismantled and the entire work was torn down. And today, whatever remains of the Worldwide Church of God is indistinguishable from any other traditional Christian church, any other church out there on the street corner. And they don't even have the same name as they did before. Compromise is deadly. And that is reflected in a doctrine of God's one true church today, the Philadelphia Church of God. And it's the fact that we do not have an open door policy. There's really a lot of depth to this subject. This subject can be rather controversial to some people. And yet it really does reveal the depth of God's love, God's deep thinking. Notice John 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father who has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's Jesus Christ himself speaking. And he even said, only God the Father can call people and bring them to conversion in the church. Not even Christ could call people. And this is such an important point. It's actually repeated later on in John 6. Verse 65 says, and he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. You see, that's very, very different from the way of the world, where anyone is just welcome to show up whenever they feel like it. That's called an open door policy. God's church has, I guess you could say, a closed door policy, but really it's just a matter of allowing God to invite people, allowing God to call people. And God uses ministers to have conversations with people who are interested in attending services with the PCG and finding out a little bit about their understanding of Bible doctrine and whether they are committed to living a Christian way of life. Because being a Christian is not just having that name, but a way of life. And we all have to be committed to striving for perfection, like Matthew 5, verse 48 says. This is not a casual lifestyle. It's the straight and narrow road. And so a small amount of vetting to see if someone really wants to pursue that way of life is appropriate. Now, again, this could be considered controversial sometimes by some people. But notice here again, in the former prophets, Mr. Fleury writes on pages 43 and 44, God intended his law to preserve the purity of Israel's religion. This lesson equally applies to God's church or spiritual Israel today. So anciently, Israel had one law for everybody. It was God's law or nothing at all. And so anyone that wanted to be a part of Israel, any foreigner that wanted to join Israel, had to keep the same law. They had to assimilate. And you see, spiritually, it's the same way. Anyone who wants to come into God's church, be invited by God into the church, has to keep the same spiritual law. No one is perfect, but that is the goal, to become perfect. Continuing here in the former prophets, Mr. Fleury says, in the New Testament, the command is the same on a spiritual level. God tells his people to separate themselves from anyone in the church who tries to pollute the religion by bringing another doctrine. And at this point, Mr. Fleury gives a lot of scriptural backing for this closed door policy of the church. It's also scriptural support for removing some from the church who are rebellious against God's law and are trying to bring other people down with them. Romans 16 and verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. You see, the traditional Christian mentality is, can't we all just get along? Can't we all just get together for church and it'll be just fine? and we can chat about our week. But God takes this very seriously. He does not tolerate any false doctrine, any division being spread in his church. And there's a lot more scriptural backing for this as well. Now, that's not to say that just anyone off the street who wants to come to services would immediately start spreading division if they began to attend Sabbath services with the church. However, you know, these are strangers, and so we don't know if division will be caused. But how would God feel if strangers did come in and then immediately started to cause division and to preach false doctrine when it could have easily been avoided by a little bit of conversation with a minister before God invites them to services? It's just a basic vetting process. Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. Notice this strong, strong language. Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. It couldn't be much more plain the way God feels about division in his church. If there are people within the church preaching false doctrine and sowing discord and stirring up division, God says, remove them. God says, avoid them. God says, let them be accursed. Now, we still love people who betray God, but we hate that they would do so. And we cannot associate with them because human nature would then cause us to eventually wear down and side with them. Human nature is very hostile toward God. And if we hang around people that are enemies of God and are preaching lies, at some point we start to think that what they're saying is not so bad. It's not so serious. And we can hang around them like nothing is wrong. That is not God's view on the issue. Notice Mr. Fleury says, God's true church keeps this command today. Some people criticize us for it, reasoning that it is harsh and cruel, but we don't resort to human reasoning. We simply do what God commands. They believe it is more loving to continue those relationships, but they simply don't know what God's love is. He quotes here 1 John 5, verse 3, which says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Continuing here, Mr. Fleury says, we always want to act out of true love, the love of God. He knows what is loving and what is harsh and cruel, and he isn't harsh and cruel. God is love. Disobeying God's instruction on this point invites disaster just as surely as it did for the Israelites. It's so easy to compromise and to justify compromise, saying that actually we're just being tolerant and kind and loving toward rebels. God says, no, drive them out. Do not associate with people who hate me. That's the way it is. True love means obeying God. And that is then reflected in our relationships with other people. and certain relationships that we don't have with other people. Why would we want to be a friend of an enemy of God? Someone who should know better, who was in the church causing trouble and then turned away. Now, as it relates to the world, people that have not been called by God the Father to attend church services yet, they haven't automatically done something wrong, but it's just a matter of due diligence before a minister of God can determine whether those people should be invited to attend. Because who knows if it could turn into a situation like this, where false doctrine is preached and discord is sown. And the ministry does have a responsibility to protect the brethren. Not just protect the brethren, but also protect those in the world from hearing something that it is not yet their time to hear. Now, I mentioned how the closed door policy, allowing God to invite people into his church, really does reflect the depth of God's love. And it's really amazing when you look into this subject a little bit more. This is a reprint article available at thetrumpet.com. It's from the Philadelphia Trumpet of November 1992, titled "Open Door Policy" by Mr. Gerald Fleury. And he makes the point that God's church goes out to the world, delivers a message to the world, whether that's on TV or radio or through publications, books, and booklets, all distributed free of charge. It's a message that goes out there to anyone that wants to hear it. But that's the point. We go out to the world. We don't invite the world in to church services. God is the only one who can invite people in. That's not up to us. This is not about thinking we're better than anybody. It's just allowing God to do what he has the authority to do. And the holy days, God's holy day plan, actually shows God's perfect timing in all of this. Notice here in John chapter 7, in verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Okay, well, on the surface here, John 7, verse 37 might look like it's saying that anyone in the whole world should just come into God's church right now. But keep in mind, this was a last great day message by Jesus Christ. And Mr. Fleury explains in this article, "Open Door Policy," this day pictures the resurrection of all people who never knew God's truth. And he continues here, "Then, at that time, anyone who thirsts for God's truth can come." You see, it's just a matter of timing. There are first fruits today, a very small group of people that God is using to do his work right now. And that's pictured by the holy day of Pentecost. It's a small spring harvest before the great fall harvest, when the entire world will be invited to join God in one religion. It's a time in the future. It's a time during the world tomorrow and beyond, at the second resurrection, when billions of people will live again and be taught God's way for the very first time. in that time in the future, pictured by the holy day, the last great day, then all humanity that wants to learn from God can go to God and be taught. The issue is that going God's way is hard, and God doesn't want to expose people to a strong message at Sabbath services if they're not ready to commit. He doesn't want to rob people of a legitimate opportunity to join his family and live forever as a God being. But if people rebel against God's calling today, then they're basically losing out on that incredible opportunity to be a part of God's family forever. Those who are called today have to deal with vicious attacks by the devil. And those who are not ready to endure such attacks would be better off, for their own salvation's sake, to just be called in the future. And God will offer them that opportunity in the future. We have to take the big picture view like God does. And we have to wait for the right timing for all mankind to join God's church, God's family. In the meantime, there is a closed door policy, and we submit to God because that's what he wants. And God does want to keep all form of compromise with worldly ways out of his church. Those who are willing to give up worldly ways and live God's way, perhaps God will call now, and they can speak to a minister and maybe have an opportunity. It's not harsh and cruel of God to do that. It's God's right to set up any kinds of policies for his church that he wants, to keep the church going in the right direction and avoiding compromise with his law. Anciently, the Israelites would compromise. They wouldn't drive out their pagan enemies. And eventually, they started intermarrying and worshiping pagan gods, committing idolatry, committing adultery, sacrificing children in the fire, all kinds of serious sins because of the compromise of not driving out their enemies like God commanded and not enforcing one law for everyone in Israel, God's law. Again, this is a strong lesson for God's church today. It's one law for everyone. And anyone who doesn't want to obey that law doesn't have to be in the church right now. And maybe their opportunity can come later. But we have to be very, very diligent to avoid church compromise. This is just another quote from Mr. Fleury. I may have read this last week, but it's a really good one from the former prophets. God needs people who will look in the Bible, understand it the best they can, and just do it. Just do it. Just obey. It's such a rare attitude to have today. But those who avoid compromise and simply obey God will be richly blessed. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments@kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.